ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, it's Norman Swan.
And Tegan Taylor from your friendly neighbourhood podcast, What's That Rash?
We answer the health questions everyone's asking and have some fun along the way.
Now, what I want you to do is just pretend that you need to stop weeing for a moment. Just lift.
What?
Just lift that muscle. Oh, wait. I don't know what noise I'm meant to be making over here. You introduced me to, I think, my least favourite Scottish slang term that you've ever told me.
The plouc.
We're hilarious.
Aren't we just?
Listen on Radio National or on the ABC Listen app.
Microplastics are quite literally everywhere. And we hear about studies into their potential health effects all the time.
In a world first, a new study has linked microplastics to an increased risk of heart attack, stroke and death.
Microplastics in the air may be leading to lung and colon cancers.
According to a study published in July, the air in homes and cars is teeming with inhalable microplastics, heaps more than previous estimates. So considering microplastics are all around us, how can we minimise our exposure to them without going and living in a cave? Hi, I'm Belinda Smith, and you're listening to Lab Notes, the show that dissects the science behind new discoveries and current events. For ABC Radio National Summer, we're revisiting some of our favourite episodes. So to tell us what we can do to avoid contact with microplastics is Cassandra Rout, who investigates human microplastics exposure at the University of Queensland. So this new study looked at microplastics in indoor air. What did it find?
Yeah, so this was a new study that focused on the smaller size range, which is really great. Previous studies have tended to focus on larger plastics, and that's just due to limitations of instruments that we have to analyse them, whereas this study was able to look at the much smaller pieces. So they reported plastics that were between 1 micron and 10 micron in size. So the smaller you get, the more chance that these particles, we can ingest them, we can inhale them, they can get into our body. So the smaller ones are really the ones that we're worried about in terms of potential effects. So it's really bringing to light that we're exposed to these smaller particles a lot more than we originally thought, potentially.
Now, this study was really a pilot study. It took samples from the air of just a few apartments and cars in France.
They did only look at a couple of environments. So they had 3 residential houses, they had 2 cars. They took a number of samples in each of them, so that's good. But it's not necessarily representative of what the world is exposed to, but it's a good first start. We need data from all around the globe. We need data from Australia so we know what we're exposed to. And we need to know different environments, not just these apartments and cars. What are we exposed to in our workplaces, for instance?
What do we know about microplastics and nanoplastics effects on human health?
So we know that there can be some inflammation effects from exposure. There are some studies coming out showing some other effects, but we really need a lot more data. Unfortunately, microplastics is very new field of research. So compared to other pollutants that we know we're exposed to every day, such as pesticides and things like that, we have a really good handle on potential effects from exposure, but we really know very little about microplastics at this stage. We still really don't even know the key sources of this exposure. And we need to get a handle on that first before we can then also look at what are the effects of this exposure. But saying that, plastics are not just these solid particles, these solid fragments of solid plastic. They actually contain a lot of chemicals as well. So there are chemicals that are used in the production of plastic, such as plasticizers. So they make the plastic bendable, so you can use it as pipes in different applications. But these chemicals we do know can be quite harmful to us. So they're endocrine disruptors. There's evidence coming out now they're linked to type 2 diabetes. So it's these chemicals that we know we're more concerned about exposure to.
Mm. Yeah, right. So it's not just the bits of plastic clogging us up. It's the things that they might secrete once they're inside us as well.
Yeah, exactly. These plastics also act as carriers, so they pick up other chemicals when they're in the environment, and then you're exposed to those as well. So it's not just the plastic, it's also chemicals. You're kind of getting a double hit when you're exposed to these things.
All right, okay. So without
isolating ourselves in a bubble, which is probably made of plastic anyway, and without spending too much money, how can we avoid or at least minimise our exposure to microplastics? Maybe let's start with food.
So for instance, if you're using a plastic chopping board, every time you use that, like you can see you get grooves in the board, you can see it's deforming and degrading as you're using it. They're pieces of small plastic that are going to be coming off that board and then end up in the food which you're eating. But in terms of food, it's probably the plastic packaging that's the biggest issue.
And then there's our drinking water.
We do know that we are now seeing microplastics, but also nanoplastics. We are seeing them in both bottled water and drinking water now. So what's coming out of your tap contains both microplastics and nanoplastics. So this potentially is a bigger source than what we're actually eating.
Where is that plastic pollution coming from?
There's going to be a whole range of different sources. It's going to be part of the water treatment process. It's going to be, you have PVC piping where the water comes through that leads into your tap. There's all type of plastic gaskets that are inside the mechanisms in the plumbing in your home. There's going to be a whole range of sources. But also, we just have very small plastics in the air around us constantly. So these very, you can't see them, they're very small, but these small plastics will also be falling into like your open cup of water, onto the food you're eating. So that's also another source. But that's one of the biggest issues in this field is that we really don't have a good handle on all the different sources yet. If we knew that, then we could put measures in place to try and reduce or stop these plastics from getting into the water in the first place. So it's one of the areas that we're researching now too.
There was that recent study about dishwashers and how putting plastic containers in dishwashers releases, gosh, billions and billions of microplastics potentially every year into the wastewater system and then...
Yeah, so one of our researchers, Dr. Elvis Okofo, is looking at sources to our waste streams. And one of the studies he was looking at is how much plastic can a normal everyday dishwasher actually release. So he was seeing lots of plastic particles come out. So then those plastic end up in our wastewater treatment plants. Most of the plastic is taken out in what we call biosolids. So that's the solid components of a wastewater treatment plant without being too gross. those biosolids are then typically applied as fertilizer in farms and agricultural areas. So if there's plastic in those, they're then being applied to the land. So it's kind of this cycle where we're putting plastic into our waste streams and then it's getting then put onto our crops, onto our food. It just keeps on going round and round and round because the plastic doesn't go anywhere.
And in terms of the air we breathe, are there more plastics inside the home or outside?
So it's going to depend on where you are.
Sure.
Every environment is different, but generally there are more plastics inside the home. You tend to see higher concentrations in winter because people have their houses closed up, trying to keep the warmth in, so there's not as much ventilation. We know that opening windows, opening doors, as you might do in summer, can help to ventilate the plastics to outside. But also we use a lot of plastic materials in our houses, in our indoor environments. So a lot of the clothing we wear is synthetic, so that's polyester, nylon, those sorts of materials. So when they shed fibres and particles, they're actually producing microplastics. So that's a source of plastic. A lot of our carpets are polypropylene. So when we have pieces of the carpet that's just wearing off over time, that's just what they do. Then you're getting small pieces of the carpet, the polypropylene in the air as well. So we've got lots of different sources.
I'm just thinking of the couch we have at home, and that's, you know, synthetic material. We have a fluffy blanket, which I'm sure doesn't have a single natural fibre in it. It's just more made of some kind of fossil fuel-based plastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so given all of this, and my home is potentially quite rich in microplastics, how can I, apart from, you said, ventilation, are there any other ways that I can keep the levels of microplastics down?
One of the big things you can do is try to reduce how much you use your dryer.
Oh.
So we do know that using the dryer, and especially if you're putting your fluffy blanket in the dryer or any of these synthetic materials, it releases a lot of fibres. There's a lot of fibres that aren't captured in the filter of the dryer. So then if that is then exhausting into your home, that's releasing a lot of these microplastic fibres. So if you can, and it's often not available to people in apartments, for instance, like myself, but having a dryer that exhausts to the outside environment instead of inside your house can help. And trying to reduce the amount of synthetic clothing that you're wearing as well. I suppose the other big thing, and I mentioned this before, is trying to reduce the amount of plastic kitchen equipment that you're using, your cooking equipment. So changing out your plastic chopping boards into something that's not plastic. Trying to use less of the plastic cooking utensils if you can, if that's available to you. Wiping over benches if you're seeing dust accumulate on it. Vacuuming regularly. As much as we all hate vacuuming, it is a good way to reduce the amount of plastics that can then be, you know, redistributed into the air and you could be breathing them in. Mm. But just keeping those dust levels down is a good tip.
Mm. Are these the type of measures that you adopt yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I got rid of all the plastic cooking equipment when I started working on microplastics. It's funny, you don't really think about it until you start working in this area. You don't actually consider how much plastic you use in your everyday life. It's just, it's always there. It's just you don't think about it.
How worried are you about microplastics? Like, it sort of feels like at times that we're fighting a losing battle. You mentioned microplastics from dishwashers going into wastewater treatment plants and then that being used on land, which could then end up in the food that we then eat. So it feels like we've got that cycle and then we're pumping more plastics into that. So it just feels like it's a never-ending and increasing issue. Am I being too pessimistic about this?
You're asking the wrong person. I'm probably also a bit pessimistic. We need tougher action from governments and global governments on reducing plastics, putting proper recycling or reducing use strategies in place. Individually, there are small things we can do, but we really need a bigger collective global effort to try and really cut down the amount of unnecessary plastic that we keep on producing every year.
And while it is probably a good idea to limit the amount of plastic in your life, that does come with a disclaimer.
The science is still very new. Mm-hmm. The techniques that we're using are not perfect. There are a lot of studies that are reporting plastics in different parts of the human body, but there's a lot of limitations and challenges with those studies. We really don't have good data showing that plastics are ending up in our brains or our liver or our placenta or things like that. So there's a lot of reactive media to these studies right now, and it's causing a lot of concern, which is very understandable. And so I would just say be cautious about what's out there at the moment until we really improve the science.
That was Cassandra Rout, a researcher in microplastics at the University of Queensland. The indoor air study we discussed was published in the journal PLOS One in July. And thank you for listening to Lab Notes on ABC Radio National Summer, where every week we dissect the science behind new discoveries and current events. I'm Belinda Smith. This episode was produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri and Menang Noongar people. Fiona Pepper's the producer, and it was mixed by Angie Grant. We'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.